right, good morning.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians chapter 4. This is not a trash can. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to kind of go back over just a little bit last week, what we talked about last week, and get back into Daniel. Well, we're going to start in Ephesians 4, like I said, but we'll get back into Daniel and study in this image a little bit, get a little bit farther into that, and try to give you a little bit of New Testament doctrine along with it, because we can always use more of that. Amen. We can always learn something New Testament as we're learning Old Testament, and then essentially, we're learning about future things. We're going past, present, and future, learning it all at the same time, which is good for you. Amen. You need to learn more Bible. Amen. Less days of our lives, more Bible. Amen. I didn't get many amens right there. Must have got a lot of them days of our lives fans. I don't even know if, is that still on TV? Yeah, good answer. That's a good answer. That's a real good answer right there. We could have parked right there a little bit, but good answer. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look in verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, which not many Baptists believe you can do that anymore, but that's what the Bible says. Amen. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then the next portion of this passage is a great passage on unity. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now that is a great passage of Scripture. He says you're called in one hope of your calling. There's no seniors calling and middle-age calling and college and career calling and youth group calling and what's after that or before that? Infants, I don't know. Infants got to wait till they grow up to get saved, amen. But you go to churches and they got something for everybody and that's all right, but it's everything as far as the Bible's concerned ought to be done to promote unity, amen. You say, why? Because there's only one body, and that's what we were talking about last week. We were talking about the body, and we were talking about a body of unbelievers back in the book of Daniel, talking about those Gentiles, unbelieving Gentiles, and we talked about the time of the Gentiles, but I wanted to point out to you this morning, this body that I was talking, gave you some verses of Scripture last week, and from time to time, I like to do that, just give you a summary or give you an overview of something, and then go back and hit the verses and show you the verses, and that way you will get it two or three different ways. You get it preached at you, you get it taught to you, and before you know it, you read it enough times, you'll be very familiar with it, and that's what we ought to do. So Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says there's one body. There's one body. Now let's study a little bit and see what he wants us to learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll look at verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 12. Well, we'll read verse, we can read 12. 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So that one body we read about in Ephesians 4 is the same body he's talking about here. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now that's something really that doesn't get emphasized a lot in churches anymore, that the church is a body. And the word family only shows up one time in the New Testament, but somehow it replaced the body. And churches are about family now. We're all about family. We're family-centered. Well, it's much more centralized than a family. A family is several bodies. The church is one body. So it's not really a family, and it's not really all about the family. Somebody come up with that when they stop preaching on sin. But it's not about the family. It's about the body. It's about one body. And Christ is the head of that body. We'll see that in just a minute. But look in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And so we get into the body of Christ by a spiritual baptism, not by a water baptism, but by a spiritual baptism. Now, I gave you last week, I gave you an explanation of what water baptism was for. It's to represent the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you get saved, you're spiritually baptized. And so we, of course, it's a longer study than we can get into this morning. But if the Lord don't tarry, we can get into it at some point in time. The spiritual baptism is not about any gift. As far as what I'm talking about there is the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues or any such thing as that. That has nothing to do with the spiritual baptism. The spiritual baptism puts you into Christ. You are literally placed in his death and literally placed in his resurrection, and that's taken effect through the Spirit of God. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So when you talk about gifts, there's a lot of gifts. But when he gets over in Ephesians 4, he says there's one body, and here he says there's one baptism, and he says that one baptism here says it puts you into Christ. For by one Spirit are you baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If somebody don't feel like they belong, do they belong or not? We don't go by feelings, do we? Amen. So, well, somebody let me down. They didn't make me feel like I was welcome. Well, perhaps they did let you down, but you do belong. Ephesians chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ hath made us accepted in the beloved. And if you happen to be one of those people who just don't feel like you belong, take your place anyway. Amen. It's like nobody likes warts, but it's a part of the body. Amen. There's no, you cut it out and grow back. Amen. And so if somebody tries to, you know, rub you out or get rid of you, just keep coming back. And maybe your gift is to get under people's skin. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. Sometimes I feel like that's the case for me. But at any rate, the body, it says the body is not one member, but many. And I was about to say a while ago, and I'll say it now again, the church got onto this family kick and forgot about the body. And if you forget about the body, then you forget about the doctrines that the body relates to us. When you study the body, you learn a lot of things. First and foremost, you learn not to miss church. And I came up with this. I never really implemented or did anything with it, but I thought it would be interesting one day to have five or six people stay in the church house while the rest of the congregation went out and stood in the parking lot. And maybe sing a song out of the hymnal, that five or six people, and then maybe preach a five-minute sermon or something like that, and then have those six go out and have six more come back in, and just show everybody what it feels like when folks are not here, amen? Yeah. And sometimes you come in and say, well, the service didn't feel quite right today. Well, three-quarters of it was gone. You try getting up, your ankles, your feet, your knees, and your elbows go to work, and the rest of you stay home in bed and see how well you make out during the day. Amen. The part of you in bed ain't going to like it, and the part of you at work ain't going to like it. There's going to be some problems, ain't it? You say, that's silly, Brother Mike. So is it silly for half of the church to go to church and the other half to stay home? Amen. Part's missing. Every part's important. Amen? And the way other people feel about you or the way you feel about yourself really doesn't make much of a difference. Amen? Because the body is members. We're all members. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, and of course you understand, you know, nobody says, whose elbow stinks? Nobody says that. It says, somebody's feet stinks, and the foot gets all the bad publicity out of the body. And so he says here in 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body. Well, the hand gets to do the work. The hand's always connected to the, now the left hand can't know what the right hand's doing, but the brain knows what the left hand and the, you use your hands constantly, don't you? And the, if you didn't have any hands, you'd be in bad shape. And so the foot's down there saying, man, I'm just the stinky part, and I don't get to do what the hand does, and I must not be part of the body. That's, and there are Christians like that. There are folks that are saved, and maybe God didn't give you anything that you feel like is special or whatever, or gets recognition. You say, well, I don't get, nobody calls my name, and nobody says thank you, and so I must not be part of the body. You are part of the body. I don't know if you fit there or not. I've heard people say, well, I think I'm this part or that part. And, you know, people try to gauge how much work they get to do in the church. And they try to, I've heard preachers try to gauge what part of the body there was. I think if God is who he thinks, who I think he is, I think if God is who I think he is, I think it's a rotational thing. Sometimes you'll be the foot. And sometimes you'll be, I don't know, the booger or something. I don't know. I mean, it's got to be there. Amen. It's a body. But that's just the way I think. I don't think nobody is especially the foot all the time. But you'll have, the Bible says in a great house, he says there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. It's the same illustration. The great house is God's house, and the vessels, well, when it's talking about gifts and good things, says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, still talking about the body in particular, members in particular. And I think at some point in time, you might be a vessel of honor, and other times you might be dishonorable. You know that in your own life. I don't have to prove that to you with no Bible verse. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. Sometimes God puts you out in the vestibule where everybody can look at you and see what's going on. Sometimes he'll hide you in the closet when the good relatives come over, amen, so nobody can see you at all, because that's just the way it is, us being sinful men and all that. But there is a place for you, amen, and amen, there's a place for you. And so I've told you that now, and you can't never say nobody told you that, because I just told you, amen. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The evident answer to that is no. You're going by, the foot's going by the feelings, and he's getting it wrong. And you'll get it wrong almost every time when you go by your feelings. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, that'd be weird. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. I hope we can all aim for that at least, is to try to find out where God put us and how he would get pleasure out of that. And just try to live up to that, amen? And if you're a Bible teacher, then God put you there, and you ought to try to please him in it, because evidently he had a purpose in it. Preaching, teaching, whatever the case might be, Sunday school teacher, whatever the case might be, wherever you end up in the body of Christ. You know, some people have a great knack for witness, and some people have a great knack for prayer and different things like that. And it's not like, we have an IT department, and that's not what it's about. I mean, there's the will of God is so concentrated that most of us have like gifts, but that we don't have like acquaintances. You're going to meet a certain amount of people in your life, and I'm going to meet a different set of folks, and probably be a rare occasion that we meet and run into the same people. You wouldn't think that, but you take every person in this room, and you come here all together. You know one another's names for the most part. And if you're like me, you're still learning some names. And some names you learn 50 times. And so forth and so on. You forget them. But all of us, we have a measure of familiarity with one another. Yet we go out into the world. And very rarely do we run into the same people? In other words, me and Brother Ron come to the same church. We talk to one another. We laugh about the same things, talk about the same things. And then we go out into the world, and more than likely, it'll be a rare thing if I meet the same man on the street that he meets on the street, and we just got the same gifts because we're talking to different people and running into different folks. And so there's not 50,000 different positions in the church. There's just preachers and teachers and evangelists and different things like that. But we're mainly and basically all supposed to be a witness for the Lord, telling what great things that God has done for us and how he done it well and how he done it completely. And that's the main job. And so a lot of us fit into the same role. But we have different differences in our makeup and differences in particular gifts that God give us. And so we all have our place. Amen? And so you ought not fret about that too much. Just be who God made you. And be happy with that. When you're talking about happiness, you're really talking about having a blessing. Just be blessed and know that God's got your purpose in mind. You go out and live that purpose every day and depend on God to take care of it, and you'll do what's necessary, or you'll do what God wants you to do, not necessarily what you think you need to do in order to be happy. That just doesn't exist. Everybody's looking for something. I'm looking for something. Something's missing. Well, the basic will of God is probably what's missing. You fit. You belong. You're no crazier than the rest of us, or no smarter. Really, we're all just dumb people. I mean, if you think about it, the things that we do, we're all silly. I've been guilty of this, and you probably have too. Meet somebody at church and think, that guy's a real wacko. Yeah, just be, and sure of it, and positively, man, that guy's wacko, I'm not sure. But you know, there's some people looking at you the same way going, that guy's wacko. I mean, he is just weird. And I've had some people, you know, the grapevine does not stop at your door. It goes all the way around and comes back. You got who you like, and you don't like me, but you got who you like, and that person likes this one, and that one likes that one, and that one likes, and it comes back, hey, you know what, brothers, so-and-so said you is kind of weird, peculiar. That shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, you live with yourself, and we're not that much different. You got hung up on one stupid thing, and I got hung up on another stupid thing, and that's what it is, and you fit. Believe me, you fit. Amen. A lot of times, people will unfit themselves. I don't know if that's the right word you want me to say, but it's like a piece of a puzzle. You put it all in there. One piece always has a mind of its own and goes missing, don't it? Where'd it go? I mean, it was with the rest of them. Now it's gone. A lot of stuff just gets up and walks off, I think, on its own. Keys get up and move. I'm sure of that. It's not ghosts or nothing like that. I don't believe in ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts? I don't believe. Listen, if I was dead and could go anywhere, I wouldn't haunt this building. I'd go to Bermuda or something like that, wouldn't you? You'd get on the internet and see these ghost hunters, and evidently, ghosts are freed from all the chains of this world, and the only thing they have to do is go. I promise you that's not happening. You, people turn the lights off and start watching these ghost hunter videos and stuff, and the door opens, chills run up and down your spine. That is, if there's ghosts, they're not spending their time that way. I promise you that. That's just another weird stuff. But at any rate, some of you do haunt houses, but I don't believe there's no such thing as ghosts. Amen. Well, let me pull this thing back in here. Let's talk about this body. Folks go their own way, and I think they talk to themselves about, nobody thinks about me, nobody cares about me. It's like a teenager. Nobody thinks I'm good looking or pretty if you're a girl or whatever. Nobody likes me, and nobody likes my car, and Nobody's thinking about your car. Nobody. And the more you try it all, and I would say this just to help you out, if you're one of those church members that's having trouble fitting in, the more you try to fit in, the worse it is, the more awkward you look. But then people start looking at you and thinking, that guy really is weird. But that's just not the way to go about things. Just this is who God made me. I messed myself up and God saved me. I'm on my way back. I just sit around trying to fit in. If y'all don't like it, then I'm your thorn in the flesh. Amen. That's the way you got to look at it. And you may as well make other people worry than you sit around and worry. Amen. If people worry about you real bad, then they'll pray for you. And that's a good way to get prayers, I guess, and just sit around and be a weird duck, I guess, and let people pray for you, and you'll get the blessing. They'll get, the Lord will chew them out for being unreasonably judgmental. Of course, there's room for judgmental, but it ought not be unreasonable. Amen? Amen. So, but we're talking about a body, and the church don't think much about the body, and so it doesn't think much of doing other things. It doesn't think, the church doesn't think much of not praying for one another and not preaching to one another, and it doesn't think much of being unprepared to go to church. But some people that come to church are not really at church. Right. Amen. They're thinking about other things. And so you ought to be reasonably prepared to come to church when you do come to church and come prayed up and do your part, because you do have a part. Amen. Well, I never sing or I never preach and nobody asked me to teach Sunday school or nothing like that. That doesn't mean you don't have a part. Just don't mean, he just said, he gave you the illustration. If it was just one big eyeball, the eyeball wouldn't hear. Amen. If it was one big ear, you couldn't smell dinner on the grounds when it was ready. Amen. So, I mean, there's different things for us all to do. And you belong, amen? And you ought to be thankful that you belong to this body, because there is a body of unbelievers, amen? And when I say this body, I mean every believer collectively. People get into this argument about local church and universal church and all this stuff. I'll just put it to you this way. Everybody who has ever been saved anywhere on this planet is still saved today. Paul the Apostle was in the body. He died. He didn't fall out of the body. That'd be very dangerous to fall out of the body. And so you can argue about universal church if you want to. Universal means everything everywhere. And everything everywhere is not saved. So I don't believe in a universal church. And everybody who goes to church in a local church is not saved. So I don't believe in a local church either. But I do believe in the church. And everybody that's saved everywhere is part of that body. And it's a good body to be a part of. Amen? And it's better than the Elks Lodge and all this stuff. And people get awful proud about stuff like that. Our little church in Georgia was right across from a big Southern Baptist church right across the road. And sometimes I just raise the window and holler over that way. Our congregation wouldn't listen, so I try to preach to them, amen? But I was over there, they got a new pastor and was over there, and he asked me, hey, what do you think I ought to do to reach these people around here? I said, well, 12 gauge, be good, be real good. But I did give him some advice, which he didn't follow, but that's all right, that's neither here nor there. This Southern Baptist probably lost anyway. I was over there talking to him one day, and he said, hey, come over, I want to talk to you about something. So I went over there, and there was a fella standing there, and he goes to shake my hand. He shakes my hand like this. I was like, well, that's a backwards five or something. I didn't know what he was trying to do. I thought he was trying to kiss his hand or something. But then that's what girls do. Girls do, men do that, shake your hand like that. I about threw up in my mouth a little bit. You ever seen somebody shake hands? You ever shook hands with somebody that gives you this? Go ahead. I can't. Just laying a wet dish rag in your hand. No, sir. You. How you doing? Now, not Renee Myers. Renee Myers, man. You go to shake his hand, he'll grab you right there on the end. Punch down. No, that's in the left cross. That's not the way. That's not the way that works. But he stuck his hand out like that. And I seen what he was trying to do, but I pretended like I didn't because I don't care, and I wanted to see how much he fidgeted. And so before long, he just blurts out, "I'm a Mason." Well, congratulations. I don't care. I don't even care enough about Masons to get up and preach about. A lot of preachers preach against the Masons and stuff like that. If you want to dress up in your little uniforms and go join the Boy Scouts for old people, right, help yourself. I don't care nothing about that. The Mason's going to take over the world, only if they're going to squirt people down with geriatric something or another. I don't know what they're going to do. Mason's not going to take over the world. They're too old to get 10 feet from their walker. I'm a Mason. I don't care if you're a Mason or not. I belong to the church. Amen. When you die, you're going to be dead. When I die, I'll be still alive because I belong to the church. Amen. The Masons never conferred one soul into heaven. Amen. And the Masons as a group, I mean, I think Brother Jack Payton's a Mason. He don't belong to the Masons. But he lays block and brick, don't you? You laid a few blocks and brick, ain't you? Absolutely. I never seen no Masons out there laying no block. Like, when y'all build stuff around here? Masons build stuff. That's what Masons supposed to be. It's not about, you know, Masonic lodges and, you know, wearing horns on your head and stuff like that. That's stupid. You know, people getting upset about that? Yeah. My grandpa was a Mason. Or he was in the Elks Lodge. I don't care. I don't care about that stuff. I talk bad about the Masons or the Elks Lodge. You get upset about that. When they talk about the church on TV like it's a bunch of morons and like it's a bunch of folks that deserve to be, you don't get mad about that, you devil. You get upset over the Masons. You don't get upset when somebody talks about the church. Amen. Good morning. Everybody awake now? This is the body to belong to right here, the church. Amen? Amen. Listen, even if they don't let you participate, this is the body to belong to. You say, why? Because this one translates up there. The rest of them translates out there across the street. And that's as far as it goes further than that, but it don't go to heaven. Amen? That's good preaching if I am doing. Supposed to be teaching, but got a little off base. This is the body that you ought to care about. I'm having a good time. Amen. People get upset about strange things, don't they? Amen. He says in verse number 20, he says, "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee." Now see, the parts, the individual parts can't say to the other parts, "We don't need you." We do need you. Amen? And we need you to do it as right as you can. We know you're fallible. You know I'm fallible. I know you're fallible. We need you to be as good of a church member as you can, a body member. The body, Ephesians chapter 1 says the body is the church. Am I right about that, theologians? Ephesians chapter 1 says the body is the church. You need to be just as good a member as you can. The Moose Lodge might call it a member in good standing. So does the Catholic Church. But at any rate, we need you to be practicing members, as they say. Amen. That's good, ain't it? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Get somebody acting up. You know what we pray? We pray, hey, God, help them to get right. Because you can fall out of the Moose Lodge and probably survive that. Maybe the mooses won't talk to you no more. But if you get away from the body, you get away from the body of Christ, and God's going to chasten you over that. I was talking to somebody yesterday, maybe it was the day before yesterday. I believe it was Brother Jay, and I was telling him about a young man we had going to our church down there in Georgia. He got in church, got saved, began reading his Bible, and him and his wife was far out there. I mean, they were far out there. They were far from God and got saved. And he started, Ruth was bringing the kids on the bus, and so many folks, my family got in that way, matter of fact. Kids started coming, then mom and dad start coming, then got saved and got in, and then got out. And that's no way to, that's nowhere to be. Out is no place to be for a Christian. Say, well, I'm mad. Well, sit in here and stew about it. Amen. It's safer.
Yeah,
it really is safer, amen? That young man got out, and he began to call me, I'm coming back, preacher. I'm going to come back to church. Well, come on. And I meant that with all my heart. Come on. Now, I knew what he'd been doing. He'd been running around acting like an idiot. And for 5 or 6 months, he was telling people he was saved and went to People's Baptist Church and all this stuff. Next thing you know, he's out doing all kinds of stupid stuff. All kinds of stupid stuff. And that testimony was gone. He said, hey, I really want to come back. Hey, come on. Come on. This is the place to be, amen? This is the place to get things situated and get things straightened out in your life. This body is where you ought to be if you're a believer, amen? And so he said, well, I'm coming. I'll be there next week, preacher. And he done me that about 3 weeks in a row, and then I didn't hear from him for another month. Then he called me again and said, hey, I'll be there. And that Saturday night, he went to a party instead of going home and going to bed, and so he could get up early for church the next morning. He went to a party, and on the way back from that party, he met a log truck, run into the back of it, and went out into eternity. It's not a safe place. When you're participating in church, you don't participate in many all-night parties.
Amen.
That's just not convenient, amen? Those things just don't line. The stars don't line up for you that way. Just don't, like I say, you don't pray for 45 minutes and get up and go rob a bank. It just doesn't work out that way. One thing don't lead to another like that, amen? And so I say, if you're part of this body, you ought to shout it out. You ought to be glad about it. You ought to be glad, some of you, that you're not back out there in the filth that God dug you out of. Amen? God told the nation of Israel, he said, you ought to remember the pit from which I dug you. Amen? And you might look around some folks in here and turn up your nose at them and think you're better than they are, but this is a far better place. You might think you're too good to hang out with them, or you might not think you're good enough to hang out with some of these folks, but this is a far better place to be.
Amen?
Amen. I don't know if you're one of those people who think more highly of yourself than you ought to, or one of those people that don't think high enough of yourself. I think there's a medium there somewhere. I do believe that. I'm not a total, I don't know what you call people that hate themselves, but I don't go that way. I don't. I'm glad I'm saved, glad I'm alive. Amen? So I think you ought to be right. But if you're one of those people, you don't think much of yourself, this is the place for you to be. And if you think too highly of yourself, you shouldn't do that either. But you should stay here. Amen? Amen. Some of these people right here, some of these people around here that are beneath you, that's exactly what you need. If you get out there with a bunch of worthy people like yourself, you're going to make a big old mess. Amen?
Yep.
And some of you probably think, Brother Mike, just preaching to nobody this morning. No, sir, I'm preaching to somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. I know your name and your telephone number. Of course, I ain't got it memorized, but it's in my phone. Amen. Amen. That's absolute truth now. The church get to the place where it forgets about the body and it thinks about itself so much. It's either too low or too high. But if you think about the body that God placed you in, and this is the part of it that you can see right here, you ought to care about this more than you care about anything else.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to care about this more than you care about anything else. Some of you dedicated to your job, and I commend you for it. God help us when some of the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60-year-old folks fall away and some of these 12-year-olds grow up to have jobs and stuff. God help us. God help who's going to be left behind to deal with that kind of stuff. I commend you for being dedicated to your job and trying to make money for your family. And I think you ought to take enough time for that to get it done. I don't think you ought to commit 24 hours, 7 days a week to the church. You got groceries to buy and oil to pay for the wintertime. There's stuff like that that's necessary. Amen?
Yep.
I commend you for it, but don't forget the church.
Amen.
Don't forget these people. And this place, though there are some other priorities in your life, this right here ought to be the biggest one.
Yep.
old brother so-and-so. I remember old sister so-and-so said she was going through this. And pray for it if you can. Amen. And if you can't remember it, pray for the ones you forgot. Amen?
Yep.
Trying to pray for the church. I did it at Folkestone, trying it in here. And I don't know all of your names. And if you told me it, I probably wouldn't remember it 10 or 15 minutes. I just got so much other stuff going on. There's lots of weird things going on up in here that causes me a lot of problems as far as remembering stuff. I bet I've memorized the same chapter in the Bible 50 times. I can't remember it, but that's not the point, I guess, remembering stuff. It's doing sometimes. But what I'm trying to get across to you is trying to pray for folks. I just say, God, if I forgot somebody, give them a triple blessing because that's as good as I can do. I know you're here, and I may not know your name, might have forgot your face or don't know where you're sitting, but, man, it's important. It's important that all the members finish together. Amen? I mean, from the spiritual standpoint of it, you can't fall out. But from the physical standpoint of it, folks sure do fall out, don't they? Oh, it's because they're lost, Brother Mike. No, it ain't. It's because might be a love problem, spiritual problem of some kind. I know that that's the case. But I know this. Folks have fallen by the wayside. There's folks out there, listen, there's folks out there that hadn't been to this church in 5 years or 10 years, and this is their place, and that big old empty spot in their life is this place right here. Amen? Amen. I think about that from time to time. And I think about the things that stick out in people's personality and think, well, what would I, you know, you think it would probably be, your life would probably be better if you didn't have to bother with them, but no, sir. No, sir. You come in here and some big mouth guy bothers you and stuff like that. Get out there in the world where there's no big mouth Christian that loves you and is probably praying for you. I believe that's just about how the devil would do, is to get you thinking bad about the guy that's probably praying for you more than anybody else in the building. I think that's the way it happens sometimes. Isn't it your most important parts that hurt, your elbows, your knees? Well, that's the stuff you need the most. Oh, this stinking elbow, it hurts so bad, I'll just cut it off. No, ain't nobody saying that. Nobody's saying that. Nobody talks that way. I don't need this head anymore. Nobody's talking that way. I've got a sneaking suspicion that the person you're the most upset with out of your brothers in Christ, probably the one doing you the most good. Amen. If nothing else, they keep you honest. Amen. Amen. Keep you praying. God, he's bugging me to death. I prayed that before too. Amen. Bugging me to death. Amen. Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're at. Ephesians chapter 1. I don't think we're going to get to Nebuchadnezzar today, but that's all right. Ephesians chapter 1, I started off as a review 45 minutes later. But that's all right because I believe we're getting somewhere this morning. Ephesians 1 and verse 14, he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That redemption of the purchased possession, that's talking about his body. Amen. And then you read on down. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and in the knowledge of him, that wisdom, revelation, knowledge, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory, the riches. That's why people go to Dover Downs looking for the riches. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, all that stuff's connected to the body. The joy, the blessings, the peace, all that stuff's connected to the body. Now, I'm just using illustration. You let Brother Eric and me get in a fuss and an argument about something, or me and another man in the church, and that's going to rob joy. That's going to take away joy. It's going to take away peace. When the body works in harmony, then you got peace. It's just like your physical body. When part of it's wore out or broken, it takes away from you your peace, takes away from you peace of mind, your contentment. That's why it's so much more important to be close to the Lord, because the Lord can give you peace when your physical body is falling apart. And I've seen times as a pastor where it looked like the whole church was going to fall apart. But because close to the Lord gives you peace. I'll take care of this. Lord taking care of many church problems. Amen. The church has been around 2,000 years. Been a lot of problems. Amen. But that's part of the body. Amen. And the body is going to have problems. But we got to remember that that's what it is. Amen. And next time you think about cutting somebody off, think about that illustration of cutting off your own arm. You might think it would be a quick fix to the problem, but it wouldn't solve your problems. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. I ask you, God, to help us in this body. Lord, we're trying to study these bodies. And Lord, there's only one body as far as the Christian's concerned. And Lord, we thank you for being a part of that body. But Lord, there is a whole body of unbelievers out there, and Lord, we're living in and amongst them, and I pray, oh God, you'd help us to learn how that body is going to be encountering the Lord one of these days soon. We'll thank you, God, for what you do. Help us to study these things on our own time. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.